This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome, welcome one and all to No Bad Ideas, where we take the worst decisions that humanity has ever made and try to turn them into the best stories that we can come up with in just 10 very, very short minutes. How are you guys feeling? Are you guys ready for some bad ideas this week?
I mean, I have the bad ideas, so I'm very ready.
I'm psyched. I'm raring to go.
Yeah. Ready to be horrified.
Yeah. Well, I have some horror for you. I can make that happen. So this story that I have that you all will have just 10 minutes to turn into a book, a movie, a comic book, a video game, an interactive VR experience, whatever strikes your fancy, comes to us from Reuters. And dear listeners, if you'd like to read along, I'm going to do that again because I knocked my mic. And dear listeners, if you'd like to read along or look at the pictures, because their pictures, then the link to this article will be in the episode description.
Uh-huh.
So the title of this article reads, Brazilian artist paints masks for those who want to show their face.
That seems pointful.
Yeah, it's not ideal, guys.
Oh, God.
Although I'm all for artists making money. I want to say that up front. Make that money, guy. So... Jorge Ruiz, 65, who used to create the magical world of Rio de Janeiro's carnival with its colorful costumes and fantastic floats. Now, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, he is using his art to make masks that don't attempt to disguise or accentuate, but to be as real as possible. Ruiz paints face masks that are so accurate as to be uncanny. As he speaks, wearing his masks, his mouth, like that of a ventriloquist, does not appear to move.
Mm.
I'll use this mask in order not to lose my identity, Ruiz said. He paints the person's lower face onto a white mask, taking time over the details like skin hue and lips.
Oh, wow.
The masks have become popular with people who don't want to hide their face during the pandemic, but are keen to protect themselves against the virus. Quote, it's vital that people look after themselves. It's good that people use masks, he said. And it is. It is good that people use masks. Quote, I've had a really positive reaction. People laugh. Something that was meant to be sad becomes something that brings joy. So this is a very sweet story. But if you look at the pictures, the masks are creepy as fuck, y'all. I'm just saying. And the idea of walking around with a mask that like makes you look like you're not wearing a mask, I think is rife with storytelling potential. So I'm going to put 10 minutes on this here timer and you guys take it wherever you want to go.
So the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, something like a Handmaid's Tale or sort of something like that, like a society where not for health reasons, but for kind of,
yeah,
cultural, sociological,
ideological
yeah, reasons. Yep. Kind of, there's this great taboo to seeing anyone's face directly. Like, you mm-hmm. know, if you see someone's face directly, they better be your dad or like the person that you're going to marry. Then that's it.
Yeah.
But everyone, and so everyone gets masks made, and over time, the masks have looked more and more like their real face. But there's still a mask. Like, it's still important that people only look at the facsimile of your face rather than at your actual face.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a setting than a story. Like, I don't know if it's then like about someone that is fighting this or, you know, someone that falls in love with kind of the wrong person or someone that they're not supposed to be with.
Gets their masks mixed up with someone else's masks and yes. ends up presenting a different face to the world. That's what comes to my mind.
Right.
Yeah, something like that.
That feels like the intuitive direction to me. When you started to read the story, Sarah, my immediate, my mind jumped to a video I had recently seen by a different artist who made a mask that has a projector built onto it so you could project anybody's face onto your own face.
I don't like that at all.
To like get around like security cameras and stuff where you're just constantly being surveilled so you could just like, you know, have an animation playing on your face that makes yourself unidentifiable. This is like hardcore in the opposite direction. I think the sneaky thing would be to, in a world where everybody wears a mask of their own face, someone dares to wear somebody else's mask.
And I think that you could kind of combine them. I think that you could have kind of like one strand be the Prince and the Pauper type story of kind of someone that is very important and was born into being important, did not choose it. Is kind of like, I need a break. And someone that is very much like born in the gutter is kind of going like, I need to be in a
break
place
of
where
a
I can make a
sword.
Distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where I can make a difference. And somehow the two of them meet and switch identities, whether it's on purpose or intentionally. And sort of, you know, the person from the street ends up in the very high power position. While that's happening, though, this very violent group has come up with this evil plan where they're able to kind of use this projection technology to simulate other people's faces. And they're intending to steal the identity of the prince for some nefarious purpose or
other. Right, and sort of pin something on the prince that would sort of upend the power structure in a really destabilizing way.
But little do they know, it's not the prince.
Not him at all.
He's much more street smart. Yeah.
Yeah, you sort of have someone that kind of like has probably grown up with people pinning things on them and knows how to fight back against that, knows how to do it.
Oh man, I like this idea.
Cue Home Alone vibes and self-defense techniques.
Right, right.
No, so, very, very Trading Places.
Let's nail down some moving goalposts in this world.
Very quick parenthesis before we do that. Just a thought that popped into my head that I think would be interesting. If you're poor, you probably only have one mask and it's a very neutral expression. But if you're wealthy as fuck, you have like 50 masks with all different nuances of expressions. A mask for when you're feeling happy, for when you're feeling angry, for when you're feeling sad, because you can afford it, baby.
You probably have a technological mask that can update live. And then the evil people have democratized that technology.
Yeah.
Gotten their hands on what was once just for the ruling class.
Gotcha.
In order to, what's the word? Robin Hood themselves something.
All right, Zach. So hit me with the tentacles.
I think that just answered a question of like, I was going to ask like, is this a period piece sort of alternate AU timeline where there's not advanced technology or is this like a sci-fi flick?
My intuitive answer is kind of like, it's a little like, it's definitely in the future, but there's some amount of like societal collapse. So there's probably some amount of like technologies that are futuristic mixed with things that are like a little bit retro because the great blackout happened. And
can I propose something that usually infuriates me, but I think might be cool here, is we do a lot of this movie thinking that it's, you know, there's some future tech, but there's been some sort of a fall. And so civilization as we understand it doesn't exist anymore. But eventually we pull back and we realize that this is a society on a different planet entirely. This is an Earth. This has been set up as some kind of like limits of human endurance, like testing how we treat each other in particular circumstances. And that's where the franchise takes off. I'm just saying.
It's a very Black Mirror twist. Yeah. So like, but then the protagonist would have to discover that. Like they would need to kind of figure out like, oh, I thought that the puppet masters were at this level. The puppet masters are actually way higher. Like, you know,
they're different puppet masters. Yeah.
Right. I dig it. I can dig it.
This doesn't change anything that we were talking about. This just makes like a you know, seventh inning reveal.
No, but I think that then like what it does change is that the person that kind of assumes the identity of the prince needs to be someone that is actively crusading for change. It can't just be like I want to get to a position of power to help people. It needs to be I want to get to a position where I can change the system, where I can break the wheel.
Right.
And then trying to break the wheel, he discovers that it's wheels upon wheels upon wheels.
Wheels all the way down.
Man.
Plots within plots. I'm so excited for Dune.
This is a very Denis Villeneuve sort of an idea, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. It is.
Oh, man. No, and it's definitely a movie. It's definitely visual.
Oh, yes.
And someone would have a field day coming up with the masks.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have about 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. So how does at least movie one end?
So that's a question. And like one option is a real cliffhanger where he thinks he's won. And then he realizes, you know, he finally goes through the unmarked door and finds just how big the universe is on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Another one is kind of a more of a Matrix one ending where some meaningful battle has been won, but there's kind of an implication of like, but the bigger war still awaits. Cut to hard rock end credits.
It's a great cut to that end credits. Yeah. The Matrix. Anyway.
For whatever reason, I think that the real prince needs to die. They need to kind of sacrifice their themselves. Life. Yeah.
I dig
to
it.
To help someone.
Right. They're going from doing something for a selfish reason to actually selflessness.
Yeah. Real Tale of Two Cities type of a thing.
Yeah. Charles Darnay it up.
Does it end in a place where nobody needs to wear a mask or everybody has the, you know, the better mask?
I think it could end with everybody having the better mask, but I don't think society has been upturned yet.
Okay.
Or everyone is wearing like a blank mask or something like that. Like, I think that, I mean, you got to think about the franchise. You got to leave it someplace to go.
You got to think about the movies
2 through 7. Yeah. Like, you know, nobody's wearing masks at the end of movie one. How are we going to get the kiddies to buy the masks for Halloween? Come on.
You don't need to tell me twice.
Well, 52 seconds left. What are we calling the Halloween masks / the story?
Oh, that's interesting.
Face off. Wait.
Yeah, something about like masquerade or mirror mask is already a thing.
It is already a thing.
Hang on. I think that I can come up with something for this. I don't know.
Face the truth.
Ooh, that's not bad. I kind of dig that.
All right. All right.
The mirror never lies. I don't know.
Well, we have some good options. And that is time. So well done, you guys.
Great idea.
I'm into this sci-fi universe.
Highly recommend the photo for anybody who is listening to this. My God, the detail.
It's fascinating. Yeah, I clicked on it too, and it is a trip.
Definitely check that out.
Thank you, Sarah, for this fascinating journey.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily a bad idea. I was a little creeped out by it, and I was like, there's something here we can talk about. But yes, yeah. if you live in Brazil and you would like a mask with your face on it, go hit this guy up. Well, we will wear our masks that don't have our faces on them. We hope you do too. And we will be back for more bad ideas soon.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valente. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.